Thank you, Vice Chancellor. All of you will have got a background note to the discussion today. And many of you will also have the materials that have been published in media over the past month and a half. This effort is aimed at hearing voices of some sanity and of depth in the situation that prevails in Assam today and in the Northeast. Because those who've come to share their thoughts and experiences are people who don't just work in one part of the Northeast in Assam or a part of Assam, but throughout the region. And their scholarship and work is respected across the board. It really doesn't matter who you speak to, whether they're in media or in a political party or anywhere else. I'm from Assam, and I certainly have been deeply anguished and disturbed by the conflict that has erupted, the violence that has been inflicted on communities and individuals, and the fact that, as the media has been describing it, it's become the single largest human tragedy in India post-partition in terms of the number of people displaced, certainly not the number of people killed, thank God. And many of you who are not from there have suddenly become, if not familiar, attentive to images that define the place. But these images, haunting though they may be, are not quite accurate. We'll reflect on that when Kishore Bhattacharjee, who represents NDTV as its Northeast editor, speaks. But often many of these images that we share, have, on pass, read, view, are fueled by ignorance, fear, and concern. And one thing is that it brings me back to the 1980s, when some of us are old enough to remember, and I was then a reporter for the New York Times, covering this disaster in these tragedies of 1980s, where thousands of people were massacred because they were stigmatized as one or the other. And we are deeply, deeply concerned about this situation in Assam, not just for that reason, but also for the fact that it sends a completely different, shall we say, signal to the rest of the country. That signal that we see being SMS'd and morphed and targeting groups who have no connection to the violence. And this is, I think, another a double tragedy that we are seeing. We thank God that the groups which have fled Bangalore, Pune and other places are going back. But that is also a signal of how insecure, I think, people felt even in the places that they had lived in for years. That tells us something a bit about India and the state it's in. Again, there was a discussion on NDTV some time ago where I was asked to speak on the SMS campaign, the new ban on new media and so on, the attempt to gag various websites and so on. And I think one thing that emerged from that was that take action against hateful acts. Don't just deal with hateful speech. And I think this is one of the major tests of both the government of Assam, of the people of Assam, the organizations which work there in the Northeast, as well as the government of India. Today we'll look at a range of issues. And I don't want to take more time, but I do want to emphasize that one of the issues we will be looking at is the issue of illegal migration, which is extremely sensitive, extremely explosive, but more in the telling of the story comes the problem. And the problem is that many people... Oh, Hilal. Yeah, come there. For instance, we have this broad brush definition that people from Bangladeshis should be sent back. Fine. But a Bangladeshi is somebody who came into India post 1971. He's not somebody who's lived in India pre-71. And there is a general compact called political and social compact on that. So we will be getting into some of these issues, but at the very start, I want to ask Professor Uden Mishra, who taught for many years at Dibrugarh University, a very dear friend, eminent scholar, writer, and also, if you haven't read his books, you should. He's working on another one right now, but one of the classics is The Periphery Strikes Back, which focuses on Nagaland and Assam. Udoy